once again in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. We commence reading at verse 29. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Commence reading at the 29th verse. Let's follow the reading of God's Word, please. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things shall be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We end our reading there. We know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is facing the cross. This indeed is the last week of our Savior's ministry here on earth before the cross of Calvary. And the Lord Jesus Christ seeks to take the opportunity to teach his children, his disciples, his followers, concerning his return. You remember in John's Gospel, chapter 14, the Lord Jesus looked into not the faces of his disciples only, but into the hearts of the disciples. And he knew his disciples were distraught. He said, let not your heart be troubled, because he knew they were troubled. Just as God looks not on the outward appearance today, but God looks into the heart of every one of us that's gathered here in God's house. And God sees the very depths of our being. And he saw the disciples' hearts. And he knew that they were concerned, they were troubled, because he spake of his going away. And he spake of the cross. And the Lord Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Listen, believe also, trust me. Trust also me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The disciples were distraught. They were troubled. And the Lord Jesus Christ spake of his coming again. And as Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. The Lord Jesus spake of his return, and he was endeavoring to bring his disciples comfort. He said, if I go and prepare that place for you, yes, I go, but I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so we find the Lord was bringing comfort through the knowledge of his return. And as we consider the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring this short series to a close, it is a comfort to the child of God to know that Jesus is coming again. This same Jesus is coming again. Now, having in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel outlined the sign of his coming, because you remember what his disciples had asked him in verse 3. He said, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? They had asked for the sign of his coming. And you'll notice the Lord Jesus Christ, in this 24th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel, gives his disciples the signs of his coming. And there he proclaims, we have the proclamation. We have the proclamation of his coming and the sign of his coming. But I want you to notice, after he gives the signs of his coming, then the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to bring it home to them. Because the other question was this: when shall these things be? Now the Lord Jesus Christ gave us here the proclamation of his coming. But when it came to the day of his coming, the time of his coming, he gives the approximation. Because he tells us, of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, but my Father only. The very angels of heaven don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ is to come again. But here we find approximation. And let me just explain this to you. Go to verse 32. Because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to, after giving the sign of his coming and the proclamation of his coming, he wants to give us practical lessons concerning his coming. And that's what brings us to verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Now let's just take that word parable. Quite often people just simply give the explanation of what a parable is. It is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that certainly would be a little precis of what a parable is. It comes from two words, para, bello, in the Greek. And what para simply means is this: alongside. Alongside. Bello, we get our English word ball. And what we get here is that the meaning of it means to throw or to cast. And putting it together, what is a parable? To throw or cast alongside. And what the Spirit of God and what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing here, something that is known something that is understood and known. And what the Lord Jesus Christ seeks to do, He casts it alongside. In other words, He throws or casts it alongside the great truth. And He uses it as a vehicle to communicate the truth. He seeks to cast it alongside for our understanding, something that would be understood. Now hear what Jesus says, learn the parable of the fig tree. Now let me say concerning the fig tree. The fig tree, in other words, was taken as an illustration and it was cast alongside or was used as a vehicle to communicate or to teach the truth. It says, learn the parable of the fig tree when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that the summer is nigh. Now why the fig tree? Well, first of all, the fig tree was a well-known tree. It was something that people would really understand because, you see, fig trees grew wild in Israel. Also, fig trees were cultivated in Israel. In other words, everybody knew about the fig tree. And so the Lord Jesus takes the fig tree, and what He does, He casts it alongside the truth of His coming. And He teaches them something that they need to know. They ask the question, when shall these things be? They wanted to know when. Now the Lord Jesus Christ said of that day and that hour knoweth no man, but He takes an illustration. Something that was common to them. Something they could understand. Something they could relate to. And the Lord used it as a parable to throw and cast it alongside the great truth that He was teaching. And what Jesus is seeking to do here is to teach the spiritual truth. And He says, look at the fig tree when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. When you see the leaves falling. When you see the leaves being cast from the fig tree, He says this, ye know that summer is nigh. What's He saying there? He says, you know that summer's close. It's nearby. And He says, learn the parable. Here's the point. Go to verse 33. So likewise ye. He has established the parable. He has thrown it alongside. He is seeking to teach them a lesson. Here He says, so likewise ye. Here's the application. He applies it. He takes the truth and He applies the truth to them. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Now, of course, we ask ourselves that question. It says, when ye shall see all these things. What things? What things? Know that it is at the doors. Or it is near, even at the doors. What things? He says, when you see these things. The signs. Just as the sign is when the fig tree is yet tender and it putteth forth its leaves. Here's the sign. The putting forth of the leaves is the sign that summer is getting close. And let me say this. It doesn't tell them the day or the hour that the summer starts. But it tells you it's getting near. In other words, of that day and that hour knoweth no man. But here is the approximation. It's the Holy Ghost is saying, the Lord Jesus is saying, when ye see these signs being fulfilled, what goes before in the 24th chapter of the Matthew's Gospel, He says, when you see these things come to pass, He says, those are the signs that my return's near. It's even at the door. And what the Holy Ghost has done, friend, and the Lord Jesus here, speaking to His disciples, there are specific events which will precede the Lord's coming.
that when a believer, a perceptive believer, looks at them, he will know that he is even at the door. The signs along the way. And the Spirit of God goes further. He uses the illustration of a fig tree. And then he comes to not only, first of all, the proclamation and the approximation, but he comes to the explanation. Because if you go to verse 36, it says, "Yes, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And so the Lord Jesus Christ is not only using a parable, something they could understand, but now he's using the illustration of history. And the Lord Jesus Christ is giving to them an explanation here. He talks about Noah. He says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now an inquiring mind asks this question. What were the days of Noah? What were they like? Because the Lord Jesus says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And he goes on to say, in verse 38, what he means. He says, as in the days that were before the flood, that they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. Two at grinding at the mill, the one taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not the hour, or what hour your Lord doth come. Now, of course, you go back to the book of Genesis and you study it yourself because time's going quickly this morning, but you'll understand just exactly what the days of Noah were like. But what the Holy Ghost is saying here in these verses, listen, he gives us a summary of it, of the points I believe he wanted to draw to our attention. Because it says here, as in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now what is the Holy Ghost saying here? He says they were eating. That's all it says. They were eating. Is there anything wrong with that? They were drinking. There's nothing to suggest in that statement that this is intoxication or drunkards. They were drinking. They were marrying. Is there anything wrong with that? Isn't that what it ought to be? They were giving in marriage. And a person is given in marriage. What is really being said here? In other words, they were doing what they just had been doing, continuing on without a sense of impending judgment. They were carrying on life as normal. You know, some people say, you know, that before Jesus Christ comes, there will be such and such and such and such, and my, there will be, really everything will be in total chaos. Jesus says, as in the days of Noah, yes, there was violence. You read the chapter 6 of the book of Genesis when God was sick, when he looked upon the world. I asked you a question. Is God not sick when he looks upon this generation? Do you not, whenever you read Genesis chapter 6, do you not read Ulster in 2003? When you look across the world today, my friend,
Does there have to be any more chaos than what we see in the world today? Because the world's in chaos and sin and debauchery and immorality is on every hand. And what Jesus is saying here is this, they were carrying on. They were totally oblivious of the fact that judgment was at the door. Maybe there's someone in this service this morning, and let me tell you this, although you're in God's house today, you are carrying on your life just as if God had promised you another 20, 30 years. You are totally oblivious that you could drop in that seat where you are and leave that seat and go to hell. Oh yes, you've heard it. So today, in the days of Noah preached, there was a faithful remnant, that's all there was. There was Noah's wife, his three sons and their wives. That's all there were. A remnant. A faithful remnant that stood for God, that were a witness. And God said, Noah, you build the ark. And I want to tell you this, my friend. Building that ark, they built it on dry ground until God brought the flood and carried it away. They weren't down at the docks. He built it upon dry ground, obeying God. And my friends, the people both heard him and the people saw. And for 120 years, he warned them. He told them that God was sending judgment, that God's Spirit would not always strive with them. But they carried on, as if God would always speak. As if God would always give them an opportunity. As if judgment would never really fall. Until the day, it says, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Is that the way you're living your life today? Totally oblivious to divine judgment? You eat, you drink, you marry, you're given in marriage, you're carrying on as if God will always reach out His hand of mercy and that the axe of judgment will not fall. They just went on their merry way. They knew not. In other words, they didn't expect it. Why? Because they are occupied with life. They were occupied with living. And that's what's happening, friend. Man's just occupied with his living. Just as they were oblivious then, so you're oblivious now. Until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now notice what the Holy Ghost says, or what the Lord Jesus Himself, and through His Word, speaking to our hearts today. Look, it says in verse 32, it says, now learn the parable. Here's education. Here's education. He says, learn. Learn the parable of the fig tree. And I believe that the blessed Spirit of God saying, listen, man, learn the story of Noah. You see, you're not of the night, child of God. You're not of the night. He was talking to his disciples. You're not of the night. The unsaved are. The unsaved are headed for the night. But Jesus is coming again. It says in verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Thank God it's certain. Jesus, God's lovely Son, is coming again. These are momentous days. And so there is here education. Have you learned from the parable of the fig tree today?
And as the children of Israel would see it, they would know and understand summer's coming. And so the Lord Jesus says, listen, as you look around you, friend, and you see the things come to pass, the Savior's coming. Even at the doors. In light of that, we have admonition. Go to verse 42. And what the Holy Spirit of God says here is this, watch therefore. Watch therefore. What must we do in the light of all of this, friend? The Spirit of God is telling us today to learn. Learn the parable of the fig tree. Do you want to know? You just learn, and then you watch. The word there is to keep awake, to stay alert, to be vigilant. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this. And then the Lord Jesus uses two more illustrations. You just study them, friend, because there's admonition in these for our hearts. It says, but know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. He would have watched. He would have stayed ready at all times, watching. Watch, therefore. I believe that God's children need to be watchful in the light of His coming. You say, what do we need to watch? I believe, friend, we need to watch our behavior. And I believe before God we need to watch our testimony. Just quickly turn with me to a few verses in closing this morning as we look at the book of Titus, the little book of Titus. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Little book of Titus, chapter 2. This is what it says. It says, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The owner of the house, he was blessed, the owner of the house. Listen, friend, you're blessed. You're blessed. You've got salvation. You're a part of the building of God. But you need to watch over that building. You need to watch over the house. And just as the owner of the house, the Lord Jesus said, if the owner had known the hour of the thief coming, he would have watched. He wouldn't have allowed his house to be destroyed and broken up. And I believe that you and I have a house to look after. You and I have a testimony to look after. And we need to be careful. Turn to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 3. It says in verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. What manner of persons ought we to be? And I believe that we ought to live, as it says here, in all holy conversation and godliness. We need to keep the lamp burning. We need to keep the lamp bright. You read the story in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel about the virgins. And there were 10 virgins, and the 5 were wise. And the oil
was in their lamp, and they were trimmed and bright, ready for the bridegroom to come. Be ye also ready. Child of God, can I ask you this morning, are you, and your testimony, is it trimmed and bright, shining for Jesus, ready for the Master to come? Are you living a life that will glorify the Lord? Are you living the life that will bring honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? What manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And conversation not only takes in your word, but it is your life, your living. And you and I have a testimony that we need to watch. We need to be diligent. We need to watch it. We need to trim the lamp. We need to be sure that the lamp's bright, looking for that return and that coming of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. But He has given you the signs. You know He's even at the door. And then lastly, in Matthew chapter 24, it speaks about the servants. And it speaks about the wise servant, in other words, the genuine believer. And the wise servant, the faithful servant, is the one who the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. In other words, doing, obeying God. The servant is the overseer of the master's household, given responsibility by God. And I say this to the elders, I say this to the minister of this congregation. The Spirit of God would say to us, even this today, for God has given us the responsibility and that duty before God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due season. That good and faithful servant. That good and faithful servant, whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find so doing. What? What doing? Ruling over the household of God faithfully, giving meat in due season, as God has given the responsibility and the task to do it. You see, there is accountability. It says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And thank God there is the reward, because it's blessed. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But the Lord finishes upon the unfaithful or the foolish servant. And the Lord says this, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunkard, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The evil servant. Reality, friend, they are the professor, but not the possessor. And if you're in God's house this morning, and you have a profession, but you haven't God's Christ as your Savior, you do not possess eternal life, let me tell you. You may even have the words in their place. You might even be able to speak the word, because it says, the evil servant shall say, my Lord delayeth his coming. He has profession. But notice his action. He thinks he can do whatever he likes. He thinks he can live however he likes. He acts unjustly. He lives carnally. He walks, he sits, he lies with the ungodly. He's indulgent in sin. He's living to please the flesh. And notice the end. The Lord shall cut him asunder. God will destroy him, friend. And there shall be weeping, and there shall be gnashing of teeth. The Lord goes on then to give the parable of the virgins. There were five wise, but there were five foolish. There were five that had the oil in the lamps. There were five of the oil had gone out. Their profession, that's all it was. And the five that had got the oil had gone out with their profession. And when the time of testing came, they had nothing for the bridegroom when he came. Oh, there was a time it seemed that the lamp shone before the others. But nothing for the test of the return of the bridegroom. Friend, I say to you this morning in closing, I beg you in God's name, don't live on a false profession. Don't presume on God. For in such a day as ye think not, the Son of Man will come. Let's pray. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, I ask of Thee in the Savior's name that those that are gathered in this place today who are truly Thine, O God, we pray that we might live in the light of Thy return. That we live soberly. That we live righteously. That we live godly before this generation. We pray that our God that will watch our testimony. And our God, the motivation of our heart is looking for that glorious return and appearing of our Savior, our God and Savior from heaven. O God, we thank Thee that Jesus is coming again. And we pray for those today that are not saved and not ready. O God, we pray that Thou wilt open their eyes and bring the light of the gospel and shine it into the darkness of the heart, that they might behold Him who is the light of the world, and never again dwell in darkness. Bring them by saving faith to Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.